Hey, podcast listeners. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is episode 14 of Navigating with Zaki Ahmed. It is my contextuals episode about fatherhood, and it's full of firsts. One of the firsts, One of the firsts is that I'm doing a bit of a re-recording. I'm adding a preamble or a prologue or a beginning, an opening chapter, an introduction, if you will, an addendum if it was at the beginning. I think that might be a preamble. I'm also adding a little bit of procrastination and rambling for your listening frustration. And I don't know why. It might be because I'm just in a really weird headspace today. Some of the firsts along with these, which by the way, if you listen, and if you've heard my first couple episodes, you know, like I do very little editing. I don't like to re-record. I barely even listen to my recordings, to be honest with you, before I post my podcasts. I really like to just record one time, no cutting and stuff like that, just post. Podcasting is something I really enjoy doing, so I don't want to put too many like barriers in front of myself and give myself too many reasons to not do it and to procrastinate even more, because that's something I do. I get overwhelmed by the size of a task, so I try to minimize the amount of time that I have to spend. So anyways, it's a first for me to add this current segment to my episode. I just didn't really feel like I really got into the nitty-gritty of this contextuals episode like I wanted to when I recorded it, I think 4 or 5 days ago. So anyways, it's January 6th today, and I signed up for a membership with Work Nicer in Calgary, which is a co-working space. They have 3 locations, and I'm about to start my first day at Work Nicer, and basically just to, you know, get out of the house, join a community of entrepreneurs, get into a different routine, because I haven't really been very productive and effective in what I've been trying to do working at coffee shops and stuff like that. But it's also the first day that Elia, my daughter, my 1-year-old daughter, is going to a day home. And we're kind of doing it on a trial basis for now. And fortunately, the day home is run by our family. So, you know, we were happy to do it. And I think we're doing what is going to serve her well, getting her exposure to other kids and stuff like that. But I think the reason that I'm recording this new segment, and I'll share the full episode that I recorded earlier later, but the reason I'm recording this is because I think it really is what I feel and what I think about being a father. For the first time with this episode, I actually scripted something. I've written notes in the past, but they've always been like very bullet point type notes. This time I actually wrote something because I was laying in bed last night and it just came to me. It just kind of came together. It was what I was thinking, and I decided to write it down. So that's another first for me. But anyways, this is the true contextual. And when I say contextual, is basically I'm just trying to give you the context on why I talk about the things that I talk about. You'll see it in the list already. I've done it for, you know, like my high school, university life, my career and all that kind of stuff. I'll do it probably a few more times because I think it's something that we really need to do more of, share our background and like if people, especially if people want it. Why do I talk about the things I talk about? Who am I? Where am I coming from? What have my experiences been like? So you can understand the bias that I bring to the table when I talk. You can understand the flaws in what I say. You can understand the strengths in what I say and you know, all that kind of stuff. So here's the bottom line. I talk about all the kind of stuff that I think about fatherhood in the quote unquote real episode shortly. But here's the bottom line. I never want to not be around my daughter. That's it. Like, I don't think I'm the only father who feels this way. I don't think I'm the only parent who feels this way. I just want to be around her all the time. I want to be there when she learns things and does something for the first time. I don't want to miss anything. And I've had the absolute pleasure and luxury of being able to do that for the first year of her life in a lot of ways. We've had, you know, like the financial means to be able to have me at home. And I mean, that's a whole nother can of worms, which I won't get into right now. But anyways, I think I'm afraid of many things. And I think one of them is that I'll never find anything that I love more that will actually make us money. I think that it will pale in comparison to being around her. And I'm afraid to do the things that I love doing or that I thought I used to love doing, and they still won't compare. And I know this is a whole nother, I could talk about that point alone for an hour, because there's, you know, things, there's stuff like personal development. There's things like, you know, setting an example for your child. There's being healthy. There's, you know, taking care of yourself so that you can take care of her. And I'm not trying to ignore those things, but I'm just saying that's why I use the word fear. I'm afraid that that's what's going to happen. I think that's something that's been holding me back. I just love watching her learn. I love watching her grow. I love showering her with kisses. I love eating her smiles for lunch and her cheeks for dessert. I just can't get enough. And yeah, I wrote that down last night when I was in bed. I was kind of feeling it. I don't know if I really truly appreciated what today was when, you know, she would be out of the house, but I just kind of felt this and I just wrote it down. Everything I do from now on is for her. I talk later in the episode about cliches that parents use to describe their children. And this is, I think, maybe the ultimate cliche expression of love that I never understood. Everything I do from now on is for her. Even if I didn't hear from my own, even if I heard it from my own parents, I didn't know what it meant. And then I understood how children got closer to their own parents when they had children of their own. I heard my father say one time that children give your life purpose. Children give your life purpose. First of all, I couldn't believe it because I always thought my father was too spiritual to think of anything so physical, as in being in this physical world, giving his life purpose. He's a very spiritual person. And he always taught me about our faith and about spirituality in general, the power of it, the place that it has in your life. So that surprised me that anything would give his life purpose. My father worked 7 days a week. I didn't see him very much growing up, but we saw him in the evenings. He would always come kiss us goodnight when he came home, no matter what time it was. I never doubted that he loved us, but he worked 7 days a week. So I never thought that his purpose would be found at home. I thought maybe if he ever had to define that, it was probably in the office or some level of, you know, taking care of your family by working or something like that. 2 years later, maybe 3 years later, we have Elia. My daughter's name is Elia. Last night, my wife Shaisa and I, we agreed on very like personal, tender emotions relating to her. And I knew what he meant. I knew what he meant when he said that children give your life purpose. That wasn't the first time that I thought that or acknowledged that, but it was another time. I've long said to myself that life is poetic. I believe God writes the most unbelievable, humbling, mind-scorching poems, and we call them life. You just have to have your head down, your eyes up, your ears closed, and your heart open. Then you'll see it unfold in front of you. We didn't plan for us to go start work on the same day. It was not planned that Elia would start her day home experience the same day that I would start my work nicer community experience. It just happened. And that's something that I think could have absolutely been ignored, brushed under the rug, not even acknowledged as something that matters. But I kind of just took a breath and I thought to myself, like, wow, like this is happening on the same day. How can this just coincidentally happen on the same day? That's not accidental. To me, that's poetic. And to me, that's God's grace. And he's saying to me, let me help you. Let me just help you out with this. She's not going to be home today anyways. She'll be out doing what's best for her. And this is part of the poetry. And obviously, this isn't for everyone. And I don't mean to impose like a belief on anyone. I don't mean to impose a perspective on any situation. It's just my perspective. It's just how I see things. It could easily be nothing. I could easily be reading too much into this situation. And by the way, the same in every situation when this happens. But I don't care. It helps me. It gives me strength. It helps me understand, maybe not understand, but it helps me to have faith. It makes me stronger. If you really want to hear a little bit more, by the way, about my thoughts on spirituality, I did do a spirituality and religion podcast earlier. I think it's episode 7 or 8 or something like that. But anyways, it matters to me. This morning, I was having a tough time with this one still. I've been kind of a weird place lately. Still like with, you know, between like depression and, you know, anxiety at night starting. And I think just insecurity and fear about the next chapter and not, you know, kind of being hesitant about taking the leap. But anyways, this morning I had a tough time getting out of bed. And between the time that my alarm went off and when I actually got out of bed, it was a couple hours. It was a little tough. If you know me, that's one of my like safe places that I hide from the world. I did a little bit of that this morning, and I had a dream while I slept. And in the dream, I was with Shaista and Ilaya, and we were in public. And there was I don't know, some kind of event that we were supposed to go to, and I was supposed to go to the event, you know, first, at least by myself. And Shaista just kept telling me, like, yo, you have to go get ready, like, you have to leave, like, you're gonna be late, like, go get ready. And I just kept stalling, and I kept procrastinating, and then I caught Ilaya, like, off by herself somewhere, even though my whole family suddenly was around, and I was like, why is she here by herself? Like, she fortunately isn't like hurt, but like, why isn't anybody watching her? So I went over to her and I like grabbed her and whatever, and look at me, I'm helping. And it gave me another reason to not go get ready. Sound familiar? And Shaista just came, she's like, it's fine, like, don't worry about this, nothing is wrong, you're late, go get ready. And then I looked under the bed for my clothes or something like that. And then I saw like 4 more babies. And I was like, oh my God, like, are you running a day home? Are you taking care of all these babies? You need help. And it was, no, I don't. Like, everything is fine. Your whole family's here. There's lots of people here to take care of all these babies. You don't need to be here. Go get ready. So when I finally went to get ready, I wasn't prepared. I opened up my like little case. Which, by the way, this is really weird, but like, I think I was supposed to dress up as a clown. And instead of like the clown hair, I had like a sponge. It was a sponge. I was like, this is not enough for a clown wig. What am I supposed to do? And then I started trying to problem solve, and I was cutting the sponge and like trying to fluff it. And anyways, I don't know why that happened, but it was this kind of funny detail that I actually remember, so I thought I'd share. But anyways, the dream I thought was really interesting because it was just telling of like where I was mentally, what was going on, how I was feeling, all that kind of stuff. But you know, I said it before, like, I truly believe it. Like, I do think that she is doing what is best for her, my daughter, today. Like, we are, you know, sending her to play with other children and learn from other children and learn all kinds of stuff and just interact and be somewhere away from us, because we believe that that is what she needs and what is going to be best for her. And it's been tough for me to tell myself to just jump and like do what is best for us that I can do, that I can control. But I suppose this is some of the challenge that, you know, I need to face, and that, fuck, I read all the fucking motivation and bullshit stuff on social media that I need. You'd think I'd just be able to do it. But anyways, thanks for listening. I am going to post the rest of the ad, like the episode that I recorded about this earlier. I hope you enjoy. And yeah, I will be recording more about fatherhood and my experiences. And I do believe that there's a lot that fathers can bond over and chat about. And I don't know what the end of that sentence is, unfortunately. That's kind of a very shitty way to end this segment now, isn't it? Maybe I'll just end it with like a Sopranos type thing. Maybe not. I don't know. I'll think about it. I think I'll let you know. I'll let you know later. Thanks for tuning in, guys. I think I would have to say that fatherhood has been one of the most amazing, special, life-changing, eye-opening, heart-warming experiences that I don't think words could do any justice to, ever in my life. It means a ton to me. In this episode, I'm trying to give you the context of me as a father, because this is something that I clearly have very strong feelings about and I would love to talk more about. So thanks for tuning in to Navigating with Zaki Ahmed. Turn my music. So it's January 2nd, 2020, as I record this episode, which means that my first and only daughter, Ilaya Noor Madani, is just past 13 months old. She was born November of 2018. She is difficult to describe in words, as I mentioned. But she's amazing. Like, she's just a lot of fun. I can't get enough of being around her and playing with her, seeing her learn things. It's super, super fascinating to me to watch like a creature, learn things and especially to learn them from you. It's amazing. I consider it an honor when I can like put her to sleep, for example. I teach her things, you know, like it really makes me feel a way that is difficult to describe. But the reason I wanted to talk about it was because I think that not only is there a ton of support and information, and rightfully so, by the way, for women and for mothers, but I haven't seen a ton for fathers. And there is there's a lot of love from fathers, and there are a lot of men who care very deeply for their families, for their children, etc. And I don't think I'm saying anything new with that, but I do think that it's like a disproportionate amount of resources and things that are available for fathers. And I don't mean that in any way to take away from what's available to mothers. I just think that it's I meant proportionate as in like for the fathers who may benefit from that type of support, not from like, not the proportion of like mothers to fathers. but anyways, I've even like come across a few fathers myself who, you know, have given me some really good advice that went a long way and, said things that I couldn't have heard from my wife, my mother, from other mothers, anything like that. And I would love to offer whatever I possibly can to any of the fathers out there who are looking for, you know, whether it's guidance or just like, you know, the word escapes me right now, but like almost to have like a sounding board or like have someone hear someone else going through something that they may be going through and maybe confused about. But that's kind of the thinking with my fatherhood. That's the context on my fatherhood recordings. As far as me as a father, I gotta say, when somebody asks me what I think of being a father and what it's like to have a child, I tell them almost every time, I say, you know what? The cliches are all true. Like, the cliches are cliches for a reason. And when I think back on when, like, before I was a father, you know, I would hear things from parents all the time. Like, it changes everything. And it does. It changes your perspective. It changes your attitude. It changes your, even your fears and insecurities. It changes your outlook on the world. Other cliches were that, you know, parents, they love their children more every day. And I wondered, how is that like possible? How do you just grow that way? How do you love something so much and then grow with it every day? And it's different from like a spousal love, which is the other thing. And as those relationships grow and mature, it's a very different type of growth I found personally in that type of love and the love that you have for a child. Another cliche was that my kids teach me more than I teach them. And I, again, thought to myself, like, that's stupid. Like, how, like, what is this? Like, they just crawl, they just eat, they, you know, especially for people who don't have older children, they still have babies or toddlers, and they say things like that. And I would think that that's really not possible. But I think it's just a poorly worded cliche, because, you know, Elia teaches me about myself. She teaches me about my fears. And through that, I learn about me. And she teaches me about love. She teaches me about learning, you know, like, I could go on. But anyways, the kind of all encompassing statement is, yeah, the cliches are generally true. I haven't really come across one that I would say is like, has been completely false for me. When I was younger, when I was a kid, I had a certain vision and a picture of what fatherhood would be like for me. And if you know anything about me, or if you've listened to the previous Contextuals episode about like my family history and my upbringing, my high school, university life, you know, like, I grew up with a little bit of a rosy outlook on life. A bit of an idealized perspective, thinking that one day I'll grow up and I'll have a wife who, you know, loves me and laughs at all my jokes and is willing to take care of the kids. And I'll have three kids, because that's the family I grew up in, was family with three kids. And life will be jolly and it'll be awesome. I'll, you know, raise the kids and be that perfect father. But it's really not like that. For one, I did not think I would be a father at the age of 31, which I was. As much as that like surprised me and was a little bit unexpected, it's been the most incredible, gift that I've received, I think, from God in my life. I don't know how much more there is to say about that, but I think there's been like several lessons that I've learned through this process. And one of the big ones is that you just never know what life is going to throw at you. And you don't know what beautiful lessons are going to come with it. And I've just learned so much, like I said before, like, about myself, that I never expected to learn. And as I look back over the last, you know, year or even 2 years to include the pregnancy, I don't think I would have learned these things as quickly as I did had it not been for having a baby. So never take for granted the things that are, you know, that you think aren't part of your plan in life. I'm trying to keep this quick. Sorry, trying to keep this brief, so I will stop there. That's just a little bit more about me as a father. I will hopefully do the next fatherhood recording very soon, because I am very excited to talk about it and get into it, share my thoughts on it with you. Thank you so much for tuning in to Navigating with Zaki Ahmed.